Blog Talk Radio.
Up Chicago, that's right. It is Friday, August 25th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, I'm excited about today. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. It's Praise Break Friday. It's going to be a good time in the studio. Man, we broadcasting live from the third floor, as I said, from Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and it's going to be an awesome show today. Today's topic, you don't want to miss it. How to get past your post-Sunday blues. How to get past your post-Sunday blues is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, and I'm in the studio currently by myself. I think that's about to change in a few moments. I didn't have a chance to go downstairs. I believe one of my folk is here, but you know, I'm up here and I got to make sure the show start on time. I don't want no drama. I don't want no problems. So I had to make sure I was up here. I'm assuming one of my good people's downstairs, going to let the people in who trying to get in, to the dough. we're going to have a good time. But let me give you the rundown. Of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you over the air. If you are on social media, so are we. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to email the show, he said, what? He couldn't get in. Wait a minute. Are you serious right now? I'm not even finna. I can't even. we are. if you want to email the show, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. We definitely would. If you want to watch the live streams, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, you can find us there. Ustream.tv, you can find us there. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Yeah, Facebook Live is up and running, right? Yeah, it's up and running. We are live and good to, well, it will be shortly. There it is. Okay, now we're going. Facebook Live is now up and running. Yes, sir. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to any of your podcasts or wherever you like to read blogs or whatever. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Hit the subscribe button and you will find us there. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. Yes, sir. Look, man, so much is going on. I'm trying to see if my guest was able to actually get in or not, because I know we got the food pantry downstairs and folk is still trying to get in the building. So you got the food pantry people coming in on one side of the building, and then my people trying to come in on the other side of the building, and I'm wondering if ain't nobody down there paying attention. I really don't want to have to take no break just to run down the stairs. So hopefully somebody downstairs will be nice to my people and let my people in downstairs. I would hope that's what happens, because if not, I'm not going to be in a very good mood. Y'all pray my strength. y'all pray my strength that they be nice and let my peoples in. I'm gonna pray for the best. Y'all pray with me. Amen. Y'all pray with me. Y'all, we gonna pray together. We gonna pray together. Amen. Amen. I'm waiting to find out if he got in. Yeah. All right, so we're going to find out. If not, I'm going to have to take a real quick break, and I don't like leaving the screen and stuff empty, and y'all watching on Facebook seeing no empty chair. It's not a good look. So hopefully we'll find out shortly here that my guest got in. Anyway, y'all, man, so since we were last here on Wednesday, you know, I want to say this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Everybody knows who our president is. Everybody knows the type of man that this guy is. He has shown himself daily to us without any equivocation. He has shown us exactly who he is. There's no doubt to the type of person he is. There's no doubt about his belief system, whatever you want to call it. But he tweeted a picture yesterday. I don't know if you all saw this or not. He tweeted out a picture yesterday on Facebook. On Twitter, because, you know, that's his deal. That's his way of communicating. Rather than actually come out and talk to the press and use the mediums that are there, he insists on using Twitter. And he tweeted out a picture yesterday of an eclipse, and I believe the picture said best eclipse ever, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it said best eclipse ever. And in that picture, let me see. Yeah, in that picture, it's a meme that was created, and it's a picture first of Barack Obama, and then Donald Trump retweeted it. Right, it's a picture of Barack Obama, and then the next picture is a picture of Barack Obama and a slight picture of President Trump, and then the next picture is a picture of more of Trump, and then eventually it's him, it's his face eclipsing President Obama's face, and then the last picture is him completely covering up Barack Obama. Now, he thought this was funny. He thought this was funny, so of course he chose to repost it. I don't know what his thought process was. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where his mind was in this. Or anything like that. I'm just a little shocked. I can't even say I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. I'm a little disturbed rather, or perturbed that he thought that this was okay. And it's amazing to me how silly he is as a man. First of all, you're president of the United States. You want to be funny? Be funny. But you hold the highest office in the land, and there should be some standard. There should be some standard in the White House, or for the person who at least sits in that chair. There should be some standard. And for him to openly mock however you want to think what the picture says, however you want to take how the picture looks, however you want to take it, it's amazing to me. God bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The doors of the church finally came open. Bless the Lord. Whatever you want to make your way, take your, catch your breath, do what you need to do. But yeah, it's just amazing to me how this happened, and how there was no and I'm amazed by the lack of backlash. If there was any, I kind of didn't really watch the news a lot yesterday. Look who's sliding in, y'all. look who's sliding in. Bless the Lord. Take it up from the, yeah. Look who's sliding in, y'all. Bless the Lord. Let me give him a little microphone. Hello, sir.
Hey, everybody.
It ain't his fault.
Cause, it was Fort Knox.
Because your message showed he was here a little slightly before 12. And yeah, I was in the process of starting. That's why I couldn't run down there. And I didn't want to throw the key out there because then you've been out there trying to figure out what. Right, right. So they finally let you in?
Yeah, they finally let me in.
Okay, you didn't have to walk all the way around, did you?
No.
Oh.
I thought the front was locked anyway.
No, the Fulton door, the other side.
Oh, no. But
yeah, where
I
the people are coming
I
in at.
A bunch of people.
Well, yes, food pantry
like, wow,
day.
That's
so
remarkable.
Yeah, that's every Friday.
Wow.
That's every Friday.
That's
so
exciting.
Well, we're talking about how remarkable it is because some people game in the system, but I ain't going.
Oh.
Uh-huh. But anyway, did you happen to see the picture that I'm talking about? How are you doing first, Prophet?
I am doing well.
You feeling better? Because last time you were here, you were under the weather slightly.
I was under the weather, and I really wasn't feeling good, but I am jammed healthy today. And
there we go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
A little bit. Give me a little bit more. I'm a little. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
I'm here today. I'm feeling great.
That's good. You look like you're feeling better because
my countenance.
Yeah.
I tried to pull it, but I was like, oh, I just want this show to be.
But I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Did you happen to see this picture? I'm talking about this picture of Donald Trump eclipsing Barack Obama. Yeah, I didn't know if you had seen it.
Well, Barack was eclipsing.
It was him eclipsing. Yeah.
Yeah,
this lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And Trump retweeted it because he thought. Yeah, he retweeted it.
Oh, he retweeted it.
Yeah.
What did he say? What did he do?
Oh, he did. He just said he just retweeted it. And because somebody else. See, he never. See, here's the deal. He retweets stuff. And see, I'm not sure.
Well, he retweeted the wrong picture, if that's the tweet.
Yeah.
Because it was Barack Obama in front at first, right?
No. This is the picture. This is the picture. This is how the picture comes up. It's and here's the sad part about it. Yes, he's eclipsing Obama in the picture. But I guess if you really want to pay close attention, if you want to be smart about it, mm-hmm. eclipses pass by, sir. They don't stay.
Right.
he thought it was a dig, I guess. And I guess the way the person sent it to him, he thought too it was a dig as well.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah. Is it too low? You can
no.
Put
I'm good.
That one on the outside.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
But anyway, I saw that, man. I just thought it was a little crazy. I didn't want to.
But I saw one with Barack Obama.
You saw one.
Maybe
there's more than one floating around at this point. It don't take much with the internet and everything else. It don't take much. So how you been, man? How's everything?
Everything is well.
How are things at the World Dominion Church?
Yes.
See, I got it right?
Well, at the World Dominion Church. I just wanted to know how long you were going to insult me by having me on your show and not knowing the name of my church.
Well, it's not that I don't know the name. It's that we all got all these names, all these non. Here it is. As much as I fight tradition,
uh-huh.
When y'all had these non-traditional names, I can't remember them to save my life.
What, I was supposed to split from a church to have a name?
Yeah.
Second Dominion?
Right. Fifth Baptist.
But you taught me something. Was it who taught me something? No, somebody. I think it was Pastor Lewis Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
He said when they were naming their church, he said it wasn't that they split from another church.
Mm-hmm.
It was that they became New Bethlehem number 4.
Okay.
He said it's because at the time that the church was incorporated, it was so many New Bethlehems or Bethlehems being named. The state made them choose a number.
Wow.
So when we see the numbers behind the people's churches, it isn't always because they split.
Yeah, it's because for one, it's for 501c3 situations.
Yes.
Because they need to know who when they're doing the end of year numbers and stuff, whose church is whose. Because trust me, if you're doing some shenanigans, they want to know who to come after.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't want you coming after Mount Vernon number 3, and I'm Mount Vernon number 7.
Exactly. And I don't blame them.
Third Baptist. There's actually a Third Baptist. I didn't actually know there was a Third Baptist. There's a Third Baptist.
There is.
Yeah, there's a Third Baptist.
Okay.
Isn't that the name of? Did I preach at Third Baptist? Let me think. Where was the church? Was it Third? It's out on the South Side. Pastor Terrence. What is Terrence's last name? I preached at the church, but I believe the name of his church is Third Baptist. If I'm not mistaken.
Really?
So I find that interesting. So you know, but anyway. So how were things? I didn't see. Did you do your Bible study last night?
I did, but I wasn't there.
You didn't go? Oh, it wasn't live. That's why I wasn't live.
They
really?
Went
I missed
on,
it.
When I'm there, they bring it up on my page and post it to the church's page. But every service we take.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you don't see it on my page, it's always on World Dominion Church's page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm used to getting the notice, the notification saying that you were live. That's
yeah,
why I
one
didn't.
Of my ministers taught last night, Minister Avalia. She
okay.
was absolutely phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you had a lady teach last week, though.
Yes, Minister Carolyn
Merrill. And you came up behind her, and right, y'all both, the folk was just trying to get their breath, and then you come up. Right. You must have already been feeling better when that happened, but I said, wait a minute. Now, the woman just, because I watched like 30 minutes of it, and I said, this woman done talk, and then the folk done got happy, and then, you know, but it was, but again, it was the atmosphere of the room, and
yeah.
you kind of have to.
And she stirred me with the words she brought.
Yes,
so,
she
was.
Know,
when
she,
I got
yes,
up there, I was going to let the people go, but I realized it was like 8 o'clock. I was like, y'all ain't going nowhere yet. There's some more of this in here.
Let me ask you this, because I'm over the Trump stuff for today. And how y'all doing? Y'all come on in the room. Yes, I have not done. He's doing the invite now, and I hadn't done that yet because I was trying to figure out whether or not I was going to take a break and run downstairs. I just don't like leaving folks with empty chairs spinning. They need to figure out a way for me to do commercial break on Facebook. See, I can do commercial for the people on the air. But, you know, people on Facebook can
y'all still have to watch. Well, that's
right.
The beauty of live, so they can see what goes on behind the scenes.
And sometimes that's good and bad.
Yeah
they don't need bad. To. Right, you don't need to hear everything. You know, I remember one time I was talking, I had a preacher in here once, and we were having a conversation.
You had a live wire?
And the Ustream microphone was still on.
Oh.
But everything else was going off, and a friend of mine who was another pastor say he texted me, said, hey, man, I still hear y'all.
Oh, God.
I said, okay, good.
Were you all being holy?
You were being holy, but we were just talking.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was, yeah. It wasn't even, yeah, it wasn't, yeah, but we were having a conversation that, you know, was between,
oh,
you know,
okay.
between
should've
us.
Should have been between the two of you.
But the good thing about editing is that if you didn't get to catch it live, you never saw it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I went in and sliced that boy right off.
Oh, wow.
So other than that, what's going on? What's happening at World Dominion?
World Dominion Church, I am officially on pastoral break, so I'm excited about that.
Now, what is a pastoral break?
Pastoral break, listen, I am a beast. I grind. I am always in the mix about ministry.
Y'all hear that?
I'm a visionary.
Okay.
I'm a visionary about it. My team, we're always humping, coming up with new ideas, looking over things, seeing what we can improve, and getting ready for new seasons and shifting and all of that stuff. So we're always, always busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the season of planning for our 28th year of 2018. So it's a lot of work we're putting in, and the staff is in overdrive in the wrap up of the summer. So this is the time that I actually steal away and pray and motivate and meditate and ask God what's next,
mm-hmm.
because I don't make no moves unless he tell me.
That's good.
So, but we're preparing for our new year. We actually celebrate the new year. We don't do December 31st.
Mm.
We do Rosh Hashanah.
Now help us out with the Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah is
Rosh Hashanah. That's just the Jewish Hebrew.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
the
Jewish Hebrew year. That's
okay.
What we celebrate.
And when that is when?
That is September 20th. That's such a prophetic time. The number of the year that we're in right now is year 5777, but we're moving over into 5778, which is symbolizing the end of the tribulation and the appearing of the word of the Lord. So we're calling it our atomic year because we believe that when the word of the Lord appears, that whatever he speaks, it happens at the speed of light. So it's such a profound time for our ministry, and we're just gearing up because on the 21st, that Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
We're actually having the New Year celebration for our church. And I'm going to be preaching, but I'm going to be releasing a company of prophets to prophesy over everyone there.
Wow. That's interesting. So. How do you, because I have always been one who, the whole watch service thing,
mm-hmm.
I never bought into the watch service, but I did take when I was old enough, I took it as an opportunity, to use it as a time of praise and joy and thanks,
mm-hmm.
Thanking God for the previous year. And then praising God into. I never wanted to be in the dark because I've had some experience. We had, and I'll share something with you here at this church over probably 20 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We had a stabbing at midnight on a watch service. Yeah, we were in the midst of praising the Lord, and the tradition was we turn out all the lights in the church. And we had like candlelight ceremony or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So people would light candles and then they would come up and say what they were grateful or thankful for. And what they were hoping for the previous year. So instead of making resolutions, it was more of, you know, just thanking God for what he's done and what your expectations were based off of your relationship with God for the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, so anyway, in the midst of this celebration, we had some people in the room, looking for tissue or something. In the midst of celebration, one of the people because we have a halfway house right here next door,
mm-hmm.
We don't stop those people from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do come in, we've never stopped those people from coming in. So anyway, some of those people, they're not stable,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my cousin who was here, LeJohn, he was here. And in the midst of us being in the dark, that one of the deacons, we never used to cut all of the lights out. We would just cut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know downstairs, there's that huge chandelier.
Right.
So we would just cut the chandelier off, but we would leave the side lights on. Well, the deacon who was down there that day, he hit the main button. So it went pitch black. And the only lights you saw were the lights in the outer hall, back. So people are, in the spirit, they're praising God and everything. And so when you hear an occasional scream, you don't think nothing of it. And we heard one, and I knew it was my cousin. I'm like, oh, he done went on in, you know, and not knowing he done been stabbed here in the back by this lady,
mm-hmm.
who got up out of her seat and she walked over to him, in the dark. Now she came in on a cane, but she got up out of her seat and walked over there with no problem,
mm-hmm.
stabbed him and then went back to.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So what happened?
So when we recognized that the screaming wasn't
a
praise,
mm-hmm.
the lights came on, and then that's when we realized that he had been stabbed. Now, mind you, we're talking, this is almost 20 years ago, and so he's laying there, and so I don't know what's going on because I'm out in the aisle. I'm on the other. I think I was back up in the balcony because I was running the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down, and so instantly, you know, I see my cousin. You know, it's family. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, what?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know how he had gotten cut. We didn't know what the deal was. So they, you know, pull him back to the back, and we do have a couple. We had some nurses. We had a couple of nurses who were actual real nurses, not church nurses, but real nurses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were trying, and we had called 911, and so again. Some of the kids who were here, they were saying who they thought it was, but, you know, because they were kids, the adults didn't want to believe them.
Right.
So my uncle, who's a state trooper, is Facebook acting up, or is it just me? It's repeating over and over. It could be just you, Pat. Just log back, log in and log back out, because it looks good on my end and on my phone. It's clear. How is yours on your –
mine?
Yeah.
On the phone. I see it
yeah.
live, actually.
Okay, it's live. So, yeah, it might be just be you, Pat. Just go in and go back out. Wow, so the ambulance finally comes. The ambulance finally comes. And once the ambulance comes, they was going to try to take him out the back.
Mm-hmm.
But show you how God works, they decided to bring him down the front,
mm-hmm.
through the main sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
As he was coming out, I'm walking with him on the ambulance, and then he points, and he said, Dana, that should go right there. That's who stabbed me. I said, huh? So it took time for me to register because at that point, you know, now mind you, my uncle's a state trooper. He had his, you know, we think it's the person is still in the, because here's the deal. When we used to have watch service, we locked all the doors so you could not come in or out because we didn't want to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So the front was locked and he was downstairs on the phone, on his cell phone. So he said, nobody left out past me, Dana.
Wow.
So nobody went out the back door because those are the only ways you were getting out.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course she didn't get out because she went and sat back down.
Right.
So he has his gun. He's walking. He on one side of the church walking. Let me go and tell the truth. I've carried a gun since I was 27 years old, legally. Get over it. So I'm walking through we all through the church trying to find out where this person is,
yeah.
and we couldn't find him. And just because we rolled him out the other way, he was able to point to say, that's who stabbed me.
Wow.
So, man, it was crazy. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm just going to be honest. And look, I didn't know the Lord that well. I didn't see a woman. I saw somebody stab my cousin because I was going to kill him. That's just my thought process. Y'all pray for the preacher. So a couple of deacons grabbed me because you stabbed my, you know, and me and my cousin, we're like brothers because we're only 4 years apart, but we were raised in the same house pretty much the majority of about 10, 15 years or something. So they, you know, police came, they got arrested and everything and all that crazy stuff. But that's where some of the watch service like went out the door for me. It was like, so even then after that, it was never really, I thought about it, I'm like, why is it so somber? Why is it so plain? Why is it so dead? Mm-hmm. Should it not be a celebration?
Right.
And then I thought about the whole watch service thing. Then I did, then of course I did my research and found out, wait a minute now, this whole watch service thing, this got more to do with slavery than it does with anything about praising the Lord. This is waiting to see them sign the, was it, the emancipation proclamation. Watching for their freedom. This ain't got nothing to do with
God.
Nothing
to do with Jesus.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Jesus.
Our church, we don't do it.
So last year, I don't know if we had skipped it before, but last year was the first year we didn't do one here.
Yeah, I've been talking for years about us doing a big New Year's ball.
Mm.
We were going to do one this year, but all of the pilgrim churches were coming together for New Year's Eve, and we're having church
this year.
This year,
okay.
So we're not going to do it, but next year, hopefully.
I would love to have something like with join with, because I think it's better if you would join with some churches.
Yeah, we did it a couple of years ago with Lighthouse Worship Center and
Lighthouse. Who's the pastor?
Pastor Tracy DeVault, my sister. She's in Aurora.
Okay.
And Pastor Otis Burns. He's also in Aurora, my mm-hmm. brother. And that we got together. It was a phenomenal move. But our church traditionally, we don't recognize it because as an official service for us, because mm-hmm. we do ours at Rosh Hashanah.
Wow. Now, have you ever invited any actual people from the Jewish faith?
No,
I think that would be kind of interesting. I would love
really
to see
good.
The dynamic in that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm waiting to do that around year five.
Okay.
Because I want to do all of the Festival of Tents and all of that stuff. I want to celebrate that particular year, our fifth year. I want to recognize all of.
Now, do you guys have a menorah and all that stuff too on
yeah,
that night?
We do. Well. We don't do the menorah that night.
Okay.
On Rosh Hashanah, no.
No, because the menorah is during Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So
get my Jewish days mixed up.
Okay. But we do blow the shofar.
Okay.
So we observe.
Explain that to the people.
The shofar is the ram's horn. It's,
right.
It's the long horn that's mm-hmm. ripped from the head of the bullock. There's so much revelation behind that. It's so powerful. When you blow it, it's the sound of the long blast is the sound to gather the assembly together.
Right.
So when we blast it, we, you know, it's symbolic of us gathering the assembly together to hear a word from the Lord.
Mm.
You could read Exodus chapter 19,
yes.
where it talks about when Israel was at the foot of Mount Sinai, and there was a long blast, and it said it waxed louder and louder, and the Lord began to speak. So that's actually what we do.
That's the Wayne Hudson.
Wayne Hudson. I can't deal with Wayne Hudson. He's just too much.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
The man of God carries a gun.
Yes, he does.
But,
yes, he does. Depending on what day of the week, depending on which one you might see. Come on, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, that's what we do.
My church in the hood, Doc. I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead.
That's okay. It's a phenomenal time that we have at a very prophetic season. I believe in keeping my church in sync with the prophetic move of God, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So I believe that what he was doing in Israel in that time, he's doing in the spiritual Israel today.
Mm.
And through those Rosh Hashanah services, we've seen so many economical shifts in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
One year I had them sew $50. It was the year of Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sold that particular year, almost probably 80% of my congregation drove up in new cars.
Wow. Wow.
This year, I'm believing God will wipe out the people's debts. And for entrepreneurs, I am believing God for supernatural favor for the entrepreneurs this year. And I believe that the Lord is going to do it, and he's already opening doors for them.
Let me ask you, because we've broached the subject maybe once or twice, but we never really got into it. And we got a few minutes to delve into it. And if you can, in the most simple terms, I'm not calling my listeners simple, but we need to keep it, you know, and that's one of the things I like about you, because you are able to speak intelligently, but without going over people's heads. Explain the prophetic to us, because we've had, when I had Apostle Rogers on, I had him going too, because, you know, there's some who don't believe in apostleship anymore. There's those who don't believe that. There's some who don't believe in prophets anymore. So explain to the layperson, the average pew member of a church, why you have the moniker of prophet, and then why they should still understand or believe that prophets are still relevant to this time, if you can.
I'm going to walk that in a 1 minute conversation.
Okay.
If I can.
But please.
When you talk about, and everybody who's listening, share this video because I feel the discussion warming up already.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's getting real hot in here. but if I can just walk it, can I get a little more volume? I really can't hear myself, but a little bit in my ear, actually.
All right.
Not
right.
Too much in the
yeah.
microphone because I don't want there to be
I
feedback.
Know.
But if I can just walk that in probably a 60-second gamut, when you talk about the prophetic, a little bit more, just a little bit more. Much better, much better.
Right.
Perfect. When you talk
that's
about,
all in your ear. That's
yeah,
nobody else. Okay.
Yeah. When you talk about the prophetic, number one, when God created man, we were always supposed to be in communicate with God on a continuous basis.
The original.
In the original.
Adam.
In the Garden of
Eden. Gotcha.
Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there was a first. I won't get into that, but
okay.
I'll say that.
The first, that old first man deal? That's a good conversation, but not today.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah, that's good.
So
good.
Remember, the Bible says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was walking in the garden around the 6 o'clock hour looking for man to have a conversation with him. So it was always to the point that God was interested in having a conversation with his people. It was never supposed to be so that there was a mediator in between the two of us.
Yeah.
So when you get to the fall of Adam, when you get to around chapter 6 of Genesis, God repented for making humanity. It's because of the idolatry that men began to commit, and the women started to sleep with angels and birthing out giants and all of that stuff. But by chapter 9, we know the flood, the second flood. And but when you get to Genesis chapter 10, Nimrod plunges the whole earth into rebellion through idolatry again.
Right.
So then after which God starts to use the medium of prophets. He began to speak through the voice of prophets, his representatives in the earth. And at that time, they were really called seers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet while they were called seers, God would then speak to them by Holy Spirit inspiration. He would speak to them also through dreams and visions. And some visions that they would speak, some that they would write down. And
mm-hmm.
this is where you get a lot of the prophetic writings, is because they would begin to write.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the book of Samuel,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that the prophetic office had become institutionalized. And that was the first time that we see the Bible transitioning from seers to prophets.
Yes.
And when they moved from seer to prophet, prophets were institutionalized to the point that they were to peer with. And this is where, when we had the conversation last time about
mm-hmm.
the church and state, that was supposed
yes.
to be, the prophetic voice was supposed to peer with governmental voices.
So let me make that a little bit plainer for y'all. So it's like if the president,
yes,
his quote unquote spiritual advisory council
was the prophet,
which would be the prophets
yes.
of today. That's what that would be the reference from previous time. That would be like if 45 actually listened to what the pastors who surround him say.
Yeah, because
okay.
the civic leaders, they have moral authority.
Yes.
But spiritual leaders, we have ethical authority. It's
mm-hmm.
because we're really theocrats. We're a theocracy.
Yes.
We're neither Democrat nor Republican. That's a whole other story. But the prophets were supposed to speak and advise the voice and the civic leaders, the kings, the monarchs, the princes of
yeah.
countries.
Okay.
And we can see that pattern following all the way over through. But when Jesus Christ came into the earth, and when he redeemed man, the Bible says in Ephesians, and I'm skipping
yes.
way ahead because
there's
a whole lot of information
uh-huh.
in between there. But when Jesus comes and when he dies and then when he is resurrected and ascends to the Father, he gave then gifts to men, because there are three sets of gifts in the Bible. There are gifts of God, gifts of Holy Spirit, and gifts of Christ.
Yes.
All right. So the gifts of Christ is fivefold ministry. We have the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, evangelist, and the teacher. But when you talk about the prophetic voice in the New Testament church, all of the word of God, we no longer prophesy logos.
Okay.
All right. And we cannot even compare ourselves to the prophets of the Bible, because they had a different responsibility in the Old Testament of prophesying and scribing the Logos. But we are in the New Testament church. We do have some foreknowledge. We do have foresight.
Okay.
But until the extent of interpretation. So the New Testament prophetic mantle is supposed to be strictly to interpret, to rebuke, to warn.
Interpret, rebuke, and warn. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And our job is also to point the body of Christ back to God when we defect. So that is our responsibility in the end time church. So when we get to the point of prophets, the reason why people cannot appreciate prophetic mantles is because we have been so spooky and we've been off and prophecies have not come to pass, is because we're not interpreting the word of God right.
Wow.
So to answer your questions,
yes.
Prophetic ministry, apostolic ministry, I believe, contrary to what the cessationists believe, that there was an apostolic age and the age is done away with. And of course, people don't believe that the gifts that worked in the first century church are still in effect today. And that has all to do with the prophetic mantle, and I don't agree.
Why is that? Let me ask you, why do people believe, and I've heard this mentioned, and for lack of better words, the Baptist church is guilty of it, a lot of it. That they don't believe that all of the spiritual gifts are still in existence. They believe that some of them their time has passed. Like speaking in tongues, prophesying.
Yes.
But it's amazing to me. You don't want to believe that speaking in tongues. You want to believe that speaking in tongues is past, but you still want to believe in healing. You still want to believe?
well, that's the problem with the church, Dana, is that's what divides us. And that is why you find so many, because we really all a Catholic church. We are a Catholic apostolic.
It comes from.
Really are. And that's another
from
discussion.
From the dress, everything.
Everything.
It, yeah, we took everything
church.
From the Roman Catholic church.
We but we are a Catholic church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are a Catholic church. But I think our indoctrinizations have divided us. And I think that doctrine is the major issue in the body of Christ that splits us up.
But what about the let's touch on that, because you said we are a Catholic church, but because as one who went to Catholic school for years, that they do use the Bible, they read the Bible is their reference. But where we tend to separate is that whole deity of Mary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
what splits us.
That's what splits us.
We're the Catholic Church in the sense of being the ecclesia.
Okay.
Called out.
Gotcha.
All
right. Gotcha.
So it's because, you know, the Catholic Church is based on founded on an apostolic foundation.
Yes.
You can find that in the apostolic writings and the Didache.
Yes.
And you can find authority in which that the Catholic Church was built off of that. But that's a whole other discussion, because
who was the first pope according to them? Wasn't it Peter?
It's Peter, the Apostle Peter.
Right. Okay.
The first pope.
Right.
So
they
are apostolic fathers in succession of Apostle Peter.
Apostle Peter.
So,
right.
But in the interim, that's a whole other discussion. But to answer your question, it is doctrine that divides us. And the reason why people believe that, tongues don't exist, prophecy don't exist, apostles don't exist, and prophets don't exist, is because people took pieces of the scripture and chose what they wanted to believe.
Just for clarity's sake, and I know we y'all like, ooh, wait, y'all talking, oh, ooh, Lord. Just for clarity's sake on speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people take speaking in tongues, they really don't understand what speaking in tongues is.
Can I explain it in about 30 seconds?
Can you?
Okay.
Help us.
I'll explain it. All right. When the Holy Ghost came, the Bible says that the fire set upon them cloven tongues as a fire.
Yes.
It set upon them cloven tongues as a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to speak in tongues. When they began to speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2,
yes.
Those were native languages.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
Those were native languages.
Teach now.
Paul begins to deal with another teaching on tongues.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There is another utterance that is given that the Spirit gives. But even in speaking in the unknown tongue, as the Spirit gives utterance, Paul even teaches over in 1 Corinthians that we're still supposed to speak in tongues with an understanding.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There is an utterance that comes that that builds us up on our most holy faith, that comes by way of Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a groaning that we cannot understand. That's
okay.
A groaning that. So the dynamic of Holy Spirit is an endowment that one receives as evidence, they say, of having received the gift of Holy Ghost in some denominational doctrines. But I do believe that when you have evidence of Holy Spirit indwelling in you, I really believe that you can get either of the nine manifestations. And what comes with that is also the fruit of the Spirit.
Now, somebody just gave us Jude 1:20.
Jude 1:20. What is that?
Jude 1:20.
Jude 1:20. Is that now unto him that is able?
It almost sounds like that's right. Jude 1:20 is, Jude 1:20 says, but you dear, I don't like that version.
Read it.
Says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves.
That's on your most holy faith. Yeah. That's it.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. So.
But that, okay. That's cool.
I just quoted that.
Yeah.
But when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in tongues. That's a language, it's a tradition.
Now, is that something that you should do publicly?
No, when you talk about speaking
in tongues,
according to scripture, when you get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, that really breaks all of this language down
mm-hmm.
about tongues and love and charity and all of that stuff. The tongues is a form of prophecy. When you're speaking in tongues, it doesn't make sense for us to do it publicly. It's because it doesn't edify, according to scripture, no one but yourself.
Okay, so. Help us understand. This Praise Break Friday, so it kind of fits the tone. So when I'm Donnie McClurkin, right, and
mm-hmm.
I'm singing and I'm worshiping, and all of a sudden, hey, I should have bought a Honda. That comes out. I mean, what?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
But to the layperson, what is that? What did we just witness?
He's building himself up on his most holy faith.
I speak in tongues all the time.
Yes, I know. All depending on where I am.
Right.
I'll pull that mic down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because you don't want to bring an offense to anybody.
Okay. Okay.
You know, because if I came to Kingdom Baptist Church, I wouldn't be speaking in tongues over the microphone.
I don't believe that to be true, though.
Why?
I say that because I believe you're going to preach, and just based on how you act in here,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be different out there than you are in here.
Well,
I don't think you would. I think you would try.
I would do my best.
I think you would try, but I don't believe because
I would
that's
speak
not
in tongues. But I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but you know, we'd hear it because the room carries.
Well,
but I mean, because it is not because I know other preachers who have come here.
That's the point of the gift of interpretation,
right? And try to
hold it,
right? And it that don't work.
But I think that the unknown tongue should be paired with interpretation.
Okay.
I think that if you speak in tongues,
yes,
you should interpret what you're saying.
You should.
Yes. Or someone with the gift of interpreting. Like sometimes I've spoken in tongues. Like there was a season at my church
mm-hmm.
that I laid hands on a group of prophets, a company of prophets at my church.
Wow.
And I said that there is a season I'm going to speak in tongues and the Lord is going to give you the interpretation.
Mm.
So I began to speak sometimes and people will walk to the microphone and give the interpretation.
Mm.
Because I believe that certain individuals in the body do have the gift of interpretation. We forget that that's a gift.
My producer has the gift of interpretation.
Really?
Yeah, of my interpreting what I be wanting to say.
Oh, God. That ain't no Holy Ghost.
I didn't say it was the Holy Ghost. I just said she has the gift.
My daughter Tracy Lee is on here. Hey, Pastor Tracy Lee.
I'm just saying, she has the gift of when I want to say something, and I said it right, she said what, you know, she knows what I really wanted to say. So, you know, because I'm trying not to say stuff.
She's probably trying to keep you from,
right.
You know.
That's true. That's
good from being evil spoken of. Lord help Jesus.
Hallelujah right there.
But I hope I explained it in short. I mean, there was a whole teaching I do on the speaking in tongues because
mm-hmm.
it edifies nobody but you, really, to be honest. You know.
Wow.
But there are some times, too, why I ask everyone in the room to speak in their heavenly languages because I'm really trying to stir them to pray so that the spirit of prophecy can come because that, when you speak in tongues, you are prophesying, and that is why we have the interpreter so the interpreter can interpret the prophetic word.
Have we... And this is where I think there's a huge disconnect spiritually, and this gnat is going to work my nerves.
It's working my nerves.
I don't know where he came from. There's this. I believe that's lacking in the church is people don't know how to pray. Mm. I think we in the Baptist church, they've sung what wrongly for years, what we call the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. and it ain't. But we that's a whole other conversation.
The Lord's Prayer, it's the model prayer.
I call it the disciples' prayer. That's what I call it. It's because that's what it is. Yeah. His teaching to them because they didn't know how to pray.
Absolutely.
Because when Peter that said teach us how to pray. When you pray, say Our Father. That's what he said.
The key is when you pray, say.
When you pray, say yes.
You
Our
say
Father.
Something.
Yeah, say something. So, if you can, and I know I'm asking a lot. I'm asking you to teach, but I know you don't mind. For someone who does not know how to, how do you feel about people praying publicly? Do you believe that just because you are a Christian, like for instance, prayer service? You know, churches have what we used to call prayer meeting.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, you tell me, but in old school prayer meeting, you know, whoever was there prayed. Mm-hmm. And it went around the room, and it ran around the room. Because Friday's where I'm going to get you, I promise. It went around the room, and everybody kind of prayed. What if you're not comfortable praying publicly? And should you feel some kind of way if you're not comfortable praying publicly?
I think that people lack intelligence on prayer strategy.
Okay.
That is what
Come on.
You just talked
Tell
about.
Me with
I
that.
Think that that is the basis, that is the premise of why people are uncomfortable with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that is something that the church does not teach.
Mm.
And when you get over into Ephesians 4 and 18, Paul mm-hmm. talks about prayer being our resource.
Mm.
And I think that the resource to reaching God and making things effective in your life, EFFECT, IV, whatever,
mm-hmm.
in your life, mm-hmm. You know, to make things come alive, it's through prayer.
Now, Angela says, I don't think that's it, Dana. I believe that they would rather not. Too many classes on prayer today, too many pastors teaching it.
I don't think there's enough, Angie.
I don't think there's enough teaching on prayer.
And I said that today. I'm phrasing it the way this to add to your point.
Yeah.
Because she's bringing out a very great point, but I want to add to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I think that prayer is about being tactical.
Okay.
We've been defensive in our prayer by praying our worries
mm-hmm.
and praying our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer is designed for an offense.
Yeah.
We're supposed to pray offensively.
Yeah.
And I believe that when we open our mouth and we talk to God, we're supposed to be able to engage in a conversation whereby we have access to Him, where we don't have to beg Him for anything.
Wow.
And I think that the strategy that we should set is repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should this is my prayer model.
Okay.
When I pray, I'm going to make it real simple. My prayer model is I repent.
Mm-hmm.
I worship.
Mm-hmm.
I read the word. Then after I read the word, I do declarations in my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I decree and declare things over my life. I decree and declare things over my members. I decree and declare things over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I decree and declare things, meaning I enforce and I legislate the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I superimpose the word of God over every circumstance that this world is facing in my prayer.
Yes, y'all. I was trying to kill a gnat. Go ahead.
And I believe that is the only way it could come to pass. Remember when Daniel was praying?
Yes.
And he wanted the answer of when they would come out of bondage. There was a clarification that was needed. That's my daughter, Pastor Tracy Lee. She
mm-hmm.
posted something.
Mm-hmm.
There was a clarification that he wanted to understand. What is this timing all about? Because I remember the prophet Jeremiah saying that we were going to get out of bondage in 70 years. So when he began to pray, when you get to Daniel chapter 10, the angel says to him that when you pray the word, he said that I heard you. And see, the problem is we don't pray the word. We don't bring God into remembrance.
We don't bring God's word back to Him.
His remembrance.
Okay.
Because that is the only thing that establishes. His word creates, and that is how we procreate, by establishing and decreeing and declaring and proclaiming only what God says, because that is the only thing He's required to back up.
Mm.
So when I pray the word, I build my prayer off the word, and I apply it and appropriate it in every circumstance in life.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most simplest model. And when you read John chapter 17, that is the Lord's Prayer. That is where you see that model of Jesus praying.
Yeah.
And some people that don't like to pray publicly, that's fine, because Jesus gives that precedence in the book of Matthew, I believe around chapter 6, where he talks about chapter 6 or chapter 7, where he talks about the hypocrites praying openly, seen in the streets.
I'm glad I'm not like that guy.
And, you know, he says that if you pray in secret, you know, he says that God will reward you openly. So, you know, praying in secret, praying in openly, tomatoes, tomatoes. But the prayer is supposed to be, it's supposed to be a built-in resource to the believer to get results in their life.
That's good. Prayer is a built-in resource.
Yes.
That's good to get results. That's good. That's oh Lord. Yes. That's heavy. It's good, but it's heavy. It's what they say, it's tight, but it's right. That's good stuff. I'm hoping that helps somebody. I want to read Tracy's comment. Tracy said, "I think it's good to be challenged to pray publicly, but only after you have been taught properly." See, that's what I want. That's the reason I asked the question too, Tracy. She says, equipping the saints is about hearing the word and demonstrating it. Some may not feel comfortable praying publicly because they may not have a strong prayer life privately.
That's absolutely good. And that's why you have prayers that are prayed amiss.
Yeah.
And prayer, when the Bible talks about us praying amiss, that is interpreted as diseased prayers. So a lot of us, we release diseased prayers, and we lose faith because God is not going to answer a diseased prayer. That thereby we give up on our prayer life and we walk away from it altogether.
Diseased prayer.
Diseased prayers.
My God. My God. That's good. That's good. Now look, this is good. I'm enjoying this. See, here's the deal. I am one, you know, who likes I love good preaching. I love good teaching. You know, some people can teach and preach all, you know, in the midst of teaching, it becomes preaching. But I like practical conversation because, see, that's where I believe people are edified. That's true discipleship. Because, see, you could have said that in a whole lot of other ways. You could have started demonstrating prayer. You could have put a little hoop behind and all that. And, people probably would have got excited, probably would have saw a whole lot of hearts come across the screen and all that. But you taught it in a way where folks who probably weren't comfortable with praying might say, "Hey, now let me go back and look at this thing again." And that's what we have to give people, because I believe a lot of people have given up on praying because they feel like they're not seeing anything. And now you just educated us. It's because the prayers that you were praying were diseased.
Disease. You weren't praying from a tactical standpoint. It's because you have to also to understand that when you're praying, you have to pray from the position in where you sit, in which you sit.
The Bible. Some of us are praying out of position.
We're praying out of position.
Oh, my.
We're praying
up
when we're supposed to be praying down.
Oh, my.
We're pointing up when we're supposed to be pointing down. It's because the enemy is under our feet by way of where we're seated. We're seated above in the heavenly spirit in Christ Jesus, far above powers, principalities, rulers of darkness. So when you pray, you pray from a position of being seated in authority.
Wow.
You become now a legislator. See, this is what motivates me about praying. See, this is number one. This is what motivates me to pray, is because I know where I'm seated and whom I'm seated in.
Okay.
I'm seated in Christ. When I go into prayer, I never come out of prayer not knowing God hasn't heard anything that I said. I come out of prayer knowing that He's heard everything that I've said because I prayed His word. I prayed in faith, and I prayed from a position in where I'm seated, because the Bible says that I'm seated above in the heavenly spirit in Christ Jesus. I pray from out of my seat in Christ Jesus. I'm actually seated in the heavenly spirit, having a conversation with God. I'm like John. Hallelujah. You got me stirred. I'm like John when he was taken up in hallelujah, Revelation chapter 4, where he said that I saw. You have to look at the scripture there. He said that he was traveling through these dimensions. He was traveling through these dimensions, and he began to hear these different sounds of angelic trafficking going on. And he said that when he got up into the heavenly spirit, he moved through these dimensions, the three dimensions of heaven. And when he moved through the three dimensions of heaven, and when he got into the third dimension, he said that he could see the four corners of the throne room. He began to describe how the throne room looked. He began to see the four corners corners of the throne and how the floor looked. And that was to say that he had a panoramic view.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 360-degree view of the heavenly realm. That way that everything that could happen in his life, that could happen to anyone else in his life, that can happen to anything in the nation,
mm-hmm.
that he was giving a 360-degree view, a reconnaissance scope on anything that the enemy would launch, that he would throw an assault against the people of God, so that he would be able to scribe it and to be able to tell what is going to happen in the end time. And this is why we have the book of Revelations today. This is why we have the apocalyptic writings. This is why we have what we call the end time writings,
mm-hmm.
so that people can have a view of what's to come, so that we can have a hope. And when we are a people who pray and who have a life who's devoted to prayer and who have a life who's devoted to getting answers, because when we go into prayer, Dana,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be the panacea.
Okay.
Meaning the
yeah,
remedy.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
supposed
yeah,
to have
yeah,
the remedy.
Yeah.
When we go into prayer, remember when Daniel was praying and when he went up in chapter 2? And anybody who was ever reading the book of Daniel, you should pair that with the book of Revelation, by the way. And
yes.
when you read the book of Joshua,
yeah.
you should pair it with the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
When Daniel was praying, he said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, give me a little bit more time. Let us go seek the Father so that we can get your answer. Him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went up in the room and they began to pray. And they came out with the interpretation. They came out with the answer. So when you believe that you are... have a burden to pray, you pray until you get that answer from God, because your motive for going into prayer is to get a 360-degree view on what is to come, and you come out and you advise as God's legislator in the earth.
Wow. We got a question. Tracy Lee says, so do you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit?
It all depends on what your conviction is.
Okay.
People say that that is a sign of the believer, but when they began to speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They received power. They had already had the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Jesus gave them the gift of the Holy Ghost, where in John chapter 20, 21,
mm-hmm.
When he went to heaven the same day and came back, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
they weren't babbling yet.
No.
So we can't make that a doctrinal argument.
Right.
So at that point, when the Holy Ghost came and it set upon them,
mm-hmm.
when the power came and set upon them,
right.
then they began to speak in native languages so that all that were gathering could hear the propagation of the gospel.
So just so we don't miss this, the tongues that they all heard, because if you read the part where it says they all heard it in their own language,
tongue.
It wasn't the unknown tongue.
Yeah.
All it was they heard it. It's just like, and I use this analogy all the time. If you've ever been to the United Nations, if you ever watched C-SPAN or any of those things, and you watched this gathering of all of the dignitaries from around the world, they're all sitting there in the room, and one person is speaking. So let's just say our president is addressing the world from his from the podium,
mm-hmm.
and all of these dignitaries from Africa, Zimbabwe, Iran, Iraq, speak all of these different languages. If you do not notice this, they all have an earpiece that they can pick up and put to their ears,
mm-hmm.
because there is an interpreter saying exactly, we hope, exactly what the president is saying, so that they can sit there and understand.
Absolutely.
That's
the picture.
That's the
too.
Picture
mm-hmm.
of what happened with the apostles
yeah.
back then, and those up in the upper room. It wasn't that they were all babbling because that's not what it was. Unfortunately, it's been explained that
it's
way
explained
way too many times,
yeah.
and it's inaccurate.
Yeah, it's very inaccurate. But I do believe that there's a manifestation of the unknown tongues.
Yes.
And but when it is spoken publicly as a prophetic tongue,
mm-hmm.
there should be an interpreter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Well, this is good, y'all. This is amazing. This has been all right with me. Amen. So look, y'all, if y'all got more questions, y'all want to hear some questions. I do want to go back. I want to reference an email because it has something to do back with our president, and I don't like to be disrespectful to my peoples when they send us emails. It's talking about Donald Trump, and I just want to read part of this email, and it comes from the sister of one of our listeners. She says this is in reference to a response her and her sister were having this conversation. She says, we can say we've come a long way and times are better, but for who? She says they really want to take this country back to pre-Civil War, Jim Crow time. If they could, they would. Why are we having discussions about Civil War statues that are standing in our government halls and on our government properties? Why are we having Nazis marching on American soil? She says, we fought to liberate Germany from this monster and how, and now they have the Second Amendment rights to march over here. She says, you have a president that gets on national TV and praises these animals but condemns the peaceful protesters against this hate. He is a racist, and nobody can tell me different. And what's wrong with these crazy, I ain't going to say what she said, black folk that's supporting him, don't they know he will have their butts lynched in a heartbeat? We still suffer discrimination, and now it's in the highest office in the land where the leader of the free world is racist and can implement laws that affect our people and communities and can get away with it because he has allies in those same high places. That is evidence that they will not stop him. And to add more fuel to the fire, you get these TV evangelists like Paula White saying it's a sin to challenge the president.
Oh, geez.
Thank you, Sister Sharon Jackson. God bless you. And Sister McCurdy. Yeah, but it's, I have to say, our email was not wrong.
I've just checked out this radio broadcast. You know, Paula White, let me rewind to the top of her email.
Yes.
Just address
yes.
it in there.
Yes.
She said something, pre-civil rights, mm-hmm. Jim Crow.
Yeah.
If we can get to the point of not trying to make the civil rights of African-American people an amendment.
Yeah.
And just make it constitutional.
No law. Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
So anytime that you hear the language of our governmental orders,
mm-hmm.
still throw out words
mm-hmm.
as if we're some second class
mm-hmm.
Irritation to them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never, unfortunately, in America, and I will just say this, and I have to be careful how I phrase this, is because I am a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, you know, guard my words because I believe that what I say, the atmosphere, it embodies it and it becomes.
Amen.
I believe that. I don't believe that anything is really going to change
mm-hmm.
the way our government views our society as African-American people.
Okay.
They just won't view us. They don't have it. It's too engraven in the foundation of this country. They never thought that slavery was going to go the way that it went.
Mm-hmm.
When they created the Constitution, they never had African-Americans in mind.
Mm.
The only thing that saves us is the point of the inalienable rights,
mm-hmm.
is that whereby all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only thing that puts the burden of humanitarian burden upon
mm-hmm.
making sure that there are laws engrafted in our United States Constitution that protects us as African-American people. So I really don't believe that much of that is going to change. Barack Obama, he was a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
But every president that has been in the White House, from the first one to this one,
mm-hmm.
has never made the African-American community or minorities for that nature
a priority.
A priority.
Yeah.
So I think that our focus should be on something else. How do we empower our community to show them, which they already know, our capability? That's why they try to oppress us systemically. It's because they know that once we gain strength and once we start to begin.
But that's been the norm throughout the history of the world.
Absolutely.
It happened in Egypt with the Jews.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Because and it's always been the ones being oppressed never realized how much power they had. If you look at if you go all the way back to Bible times, the Israelites outnumbered the Egyptians. I mean, outnumber them.
It's because we cannot respond to the power of the number. But
come
we
on.
Can respond only to the oppressor in
yes.
the system of oppression.
Yes.
What affects us
yes.
is the only thing that we respond to. We love the benefits
yes.
that we get through oppression because we think it's victory. We think public aid is victory.
Wow. Say that again. We love the benefits
of what we believe is victory through oppression.
Wow.
We believe that the government loves us because they give us public aid.
Oof.
We think the government loves us because they give us free education. That's piss poor. We think that they love us because they give us free cheese and butter.
Mm.
They don't love us. That's just some kind of thing that just falls out of the sky while they cater to a greater agenda of world order.
Wow.
Our issues in our community is a small piece on the docket of government.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about what's happening in some little dugout over there on Macon and
right.
Some little on Roosevelt. They don't care none about that.
Wow.
That is not on their docket. Otherwise, they would make war type weaponry illegal in this country.
If they really cared. Yeah.
You knew that there are 8 people who die a weekend in Chicago and 38 people who are wounded for the last 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you would think that they would legislate gun laws here in the United States. They would just take them off the street.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me an ISIS person can come in this country and launch an attack, Al-Qaeda can come, and they would have intelligence about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know who's trafficking guns and drugs in this country.
Absolutely they do.
Come on here.
Absolutely
it's
they do.
It's big business for the government.
Absolutely they do. It's fear is big business.
Yeah.
Fear is as long as y'all are afraid, you know, you're never going to build in your own community because you're afraid of it.
Yeah.
So even if you start a business, it won't be in your own community. It's going to be outside of your community.
Absolutely.
Because you're afraid of it. And it's unfortunate. We're afraid to even deal with our own people. And we go outside. You know, it's like even now, even a little silly stuff like this stupid sugar tax. Y'all pray for Prep Winkle.
That's it.
Yeah.
Didn't she say she wasn't going to raise any taxes when she got in there?
She said she was not. That's how she beat
Trojan, right?
Yeah, okay. I won't ever tax none of that. I'm not going to do that to y'all. Right. Now I got to pay an extra dollar for my cherry Pepsi. You a fool if you believe it. I'm buying it in DuPage County. Nah. Run tell that, Prep Winkle Tony. Won't get another vote out of me. Anyway, it's just amazing to me how
you can have her on the show to ask questions.
You know what? I've met with her person that she carries around with her.
I think your platform should hear from her.
And I gave them, I put my card in his hand and I shook her hand. She was at an event. Matter of fact, I did an event I DJ'd an event for this charter school. For Polaris Charter Academy, and Tony Preckwinkle was there. So I got a chance to meet her there, and I put my card in her hand and in her assistant's hand trying to get her on the show. Politicians probably won't. The only one who I think may actually still come, and I want to sit down and have a talk conversation with him, is LaShawn Ford.
Oh, okay.
He may actually come. And if he does, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, but we'll have a conversation just like you and I are talking, but you got some questions you need to answer. I mean, you want to vote, you need to be able to answer some real questions.
That's true.
Anyway, let me see what J.R. Burt said. J.R. Burt said, he just said something I don't see. I see it on my phone, but I don't see it on the screen.
What bothers me is the oppression placed on the only race of people who were forced into migration to this country.
Wow.
That's what he says.
Wow.
J.R. Burt.
Yeah, and he's right. Forced into migration. Right. It ain't like we, you know, see, the difference is, and I know they like to try to, you know, say stuff, Jewish people ran here, okay, from what was happening in Germany and everywhere else. They ran here. They came over here when
that's prophecy fulfilled.
During the they came over here on the boat, you
in
know, via 40s. New York, right? You know, on the statue, past the Statue of Liberty, you know, bring me all your poor, your all that stuff. They came then. We, you know, and they came voluntarily. Yes, they were running from something, but they came voluntarily. We was chilling.
Yeah.
Naked and not afraid.
Yeah.
We was chilling, mind our own business.
We came as refugees.
We
were here as detainees.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, we yeah. I mean, and actually, detainee meaning I was here and you kept me. No, you came and got me. See,
you came and got
right. You came and got me.
I'm talking
and
about
then,
the generations that were born.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
We're of the generations that were born into this country.
Yeah,
and we're considered detainees to
and,
them,
and,
so
and
they're
and,
obligated
and,
to take care of
and,
us.
And that's,
so they
and
give
that's
us
the crazy
money.
Part.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. We are treated like you're absolutely right. We are treated more like detainees than Americans.
Yeah. We're their inconvenience. This is a problem that got too big for them.
And this is why you have that sect of them now who have a voice.
That's good.
In the White House.
Yeah.
This is why you have that sect of them in the White now saying, go back to Africa.
So to them.
You shouldn't have came and got me.
Right. But to them, those Robert E. Lee statues, that's their history. That's patriotic.
To them.
Stuff to them. That is like removing.
But no. And this is what makes America so great. And this is why it's so. This is why it's not infallible.
Yeah.
Because. In no other country could you keep up a statue of your oppressor.
Yeah.
We don't have that's like us putting up statues. That's like in
But Dana, they don't think
they don't see it that way.
They don't see us as oppressed. They see us as a people who are not equal to them.
Wow.
They don't believe that we were oppressed. They believe that they did. They believe they did us a favor.
Wow!
By pulling us out of a third world, they think that slavery was the good life. It's because we lived a life that we never had to work for. They don't believe we were oppressed. Those people like Robert E. Lee,
so,
Stonewall, those.
So our great great grandma. Great-great-grandmama out in the field, because you whooping her to be out in the field, not voluntarily.
Work is when you receive wages.
So they don't, okay.
We were property.
Right.
We didn't have a voice. We didn't have a right. We were not human to them.
Wow.
It's a different mindset that these people have, and the African-American community, we still don't get it.
That's true.
They do not see us as equal to them. I don't care how we befriend them.
Yeah.
I don't care how we work with them. I don't care how we partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
They do not see us equal.
That's true. That's true. That's why. That's why. It's incumbent on us to
change the dynamic of our own community.
To do our own stuff.
We have to. It's because they always feel they're first. Try to cut through traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Try to drive and make a turn. Go downtown and wait at the stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
And when it turns red and you sitting in the intersection, do you think that they're gonna wait on you because you black?
Wow.
No, they feel white America has an entitlement spirit. They feel this is their country. They were born into privilege because of their pigmentation or the lack thereof.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, that
oh
is the
God.
Spirit of this nation. It is a superiority spirit on this nation. And Donald Trump has just pulled a bandage off. The problem
That's
was
it.
Never fixed.
That's it. You're absolutely right.
Of what existed.
You're absolutely right. He pulled off the bandage. It was never.
It was never.
There's never been full healing.
That's why
place.
America doesn't like Barack Obama. It's because they thought he was going to fix the black problem.
Mm.
For them, on our side. They mm-hmm. thought he was going to fix the black problem. And he didn't do it is because they showed him he was a nigga. Excuse my language. I'm sorry to all of y'all. Congress showed him you are black. We don't care how intellectual you are. Your Harvard degree don't mean nothing to me. You are still, you have pigmentation. You are black. You have a brown face. Your wife is black. Your children are black. We are not going to legislate. We are going to stop you. That man said on the night that he was elected in November of 2008, we are going to Waterloo this guy. We're going to make sure that he does not have a legacy.
He's going to be a one-term president.
He's going to be a one-term president,
yep.
And he is going to fail on all angles.
Yeah, we don't want him to succeed.
We don't want him to succeed.
But now we're being told, you ought to want your president to succeed.
You ought to want your president to succeed. By Paula White.
By Paula White. You ought to want your
president. But none of them.
I asked the question the other day. Can somebody find me a video of Paula White saying the same thing about Barack Obama?
She did not.
Okay, I just want to know.
It's because she thought the whole. See, that even that racism agenda is even in the evangelical church.
Yeah. Oh,
the white
God.
Evangelical church.
Oh, God, yes.
And I'm just going to say it because the saints don't want to say it because, you know, a lot of the big names, they're all on the preaching circuit
it's okay.
together.
It's okay.
So, but I'm going to say it. These evangelical preachers, they will say whatever they need to say. And they will do whatever they need to do is because, number one, they're Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and number two, they all feel a sense of superiority as well, is because that's how they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, they feel that Barack Obama was behind all of this legislation, that it was a idolatrous legislation with the with the gay agenda,
mm-hmm.
With the gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that if Barack Obama allowed this blanket of idolatry to be cast over the nation,
mm-hmm.
so what we're experiencing now is judgment against God for this being idolatrous, being idolatrous nation. But that's not true. The Bible says that in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
So this is biblical eschatology coming unfolding right before. This is the spirit of the age. It says apostasy would come before the Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist is already being released in this nation through our governmental orders. It has always been.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Barack Obama and the gay agenda. And we got this mixed up even as the church. And that is disappointing.
Wow. Oof. I'm just over here like the sponge, y'all. I'm just here to push the button. Look at me.
Oh God.
I love your insight on that. Let's do this because we got 15 minutes. So let's just talk.
I don't even know why we get articles from me.
Because we're gonna you know what? And it's actually good. And you'll be back Wednesday because actually the article that I did for Wednesday, my producer really wanted me to hold it because she knew you weren't coming.
Okay.
But it's really good. The one about I can't remember Wednesday show. Y'all pray for me. But Wednesday show, the article, we only got through part of it. But it dealt so much with forgiveness and stuff like
yeah.
that. And we just thought it would be good, and from the pastor standpoint,
yeah.
on how we could delve into that. But let me ask this question: with the climate being the way it is in our country, with the climate being the way it is, and the lack of I don't want to ask the question: is it a lack of education? Because we have access to it now, bad, good or bad or whatever, we still have to take advantage of where we. Because you can't, as bad as Chicago public schools are, mm-hmm. as bad as the education, as public education is in this country, let me put it that way, because I don't want to just put it off on Chicago public schools, because there are other cities around this country, i.e., Baltimore and other places. I'm rewatching The Wire again, by the way, so you get and there's so much of Chicago in that.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on. Is The Wire on Netflix? It might be on Netflix.
I'm gonna start watching it again.
You really should because it's good. Unless you got HBO, you can just get it on there. Go back and watch it on demand.
Well, that means I can pull it up on demand.
Right, on demand. But it dealt so much with it's so much Chicago in the conversation. Mm-hmm. The police ain't got no money. Schools ain't got no money. The mayor's office is corrupt. And you can't find out why all these people drugs are taking over. People are being killed. They can't control the murder rate. They do all this stuff. They're taking money from the schools to keep the police on overtime. So it's like all of this stuff is happening. And it's like, what can we do? And you can't answer for black folk, but you can answer. You can give your opinion. How much of this is a lack of education because the parents of these people now are so far they have the same amount of education that our grandparents had, but they don't have the same amount. They don't have the same kind of wisdom or the drive. Like your grandmother, great grandmother. I don't know. I'm just going to assume because that's what we do. My great grandmother only had a fourth grade education. Right. I don't know how far my grandmother went with school. My mother only graduated from high school. She did not go to college. Okay. Now, other people in my family that are a little older, my aunts and uncles all went to college, all have degrees. Right. But at what point the people who've had children now, who have these little boys running around now, these little 16, 17, 18 year olds that's out here doing what they're doing now, Is it a lack of education because, or is it a lack of where is the disconnect? Let me ask that. I guess that's the better question. And it may not be a spiritual answer. Where is the disconnect? Because how do we rein them back in when they've been running free for, say, the last 10 to 15 years? They've been out just, they're like, it's like someone said, just go do what you want to do because nobody cares anyway. How do we rein these people back in? Like you said, yeah, how come we can't find out who's peddling guns? Somebody put a post up today. The police can catch us speeding down the street and running red lights, but they can't see Pookie shoot Ray Ray with all these cameras going off in the city. How is that possible? So how do we rein them back in? What can you, you know what, skip that question. What can you say to a bunch of people standing on the corner right now? If they gave you the time of day, if they gave you 5 minutes, say, look, man, I don't know you, but what you got? We'll give you 10 minutes, but we're going to start talking about you.
I just believe it's ignorance.
So it is a lack of knowledge.
It is a lack of knowledge. That's how people perish. So, intelligence is the most valuable weapon in the world.
Wow.
Knowledge is widely available,
mm-hmm.
but access to it is another story. It's a whole other story. When we go to the public schools,
mm-hmm.
and we go in there from kindergarten all the way up to the eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
we're not exposed to what these white suburban schools are exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have those books.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to high school, we're not exposed to these programs and books that these white suburban mm-hmm. schools are. It's because you got to pay money for that. You got to pay money for higher quality information
mm-hmm.
that you can appreciate,
mm-hmm.
that seems realistic. When you sit somebody down in an all-black school
mm-hmm.
and you just teach me white America information,
mm.
I already don't believe what you're telling me. It's because through my mother's eyes, I already don't feel the effect of what you're trying to shove down my throat.
Wow.
You're trying to prepare me to get something that you have already told me that only white people can have. You've never spoken to my creative ability. You've never designed a meso macro
curriculum
uh-huh. that speaks to my culture.
It's all because all this stuff was designed for people not like me.
For people not like me. So that means that when you shove me in school and tell me I better learn this, and if I don't, I'll never be nothing. By fourth grade, I already know I won't be nothing because I'm sharing books with my classmate. I already don't know how to read second grade level at fourth grade. It's because I had a teacher who was paid $20,000 a year who did not have the technology necessary nor the salary to make the real investment in my life in comparison to a $70,000 a year teacher in a white school. Where their children have to pay tuition to get the best quality of education. By the way, where the government sends the money.
Hmm.
So you mean to tell me it's a problem with me slinging on the corner? It's a problem with me having this game and pushing dope and making all of this money? I'm really an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but nobody ever showed me the right way to do it.
Right, right.
You
right.
told me I had to go to college in order to sit in the office in the tall building downtown making $70,000 a year, and I'm out here making $200,000 a week. What can you teach me? What's available? And this is the tool that ministers I think we should have in this day, and churches that we should have in this day.
Yeah.
We should have information that shows them and speak to their creativity.
Yeah.
That can say, you know what, I'll put this down to give what you're telling me a try. It's because I see the fruit of it working through you. You know why these people don't buy into nothing we say? It's because we don't have the fruit to show it.
Yeah. We've seen you on that corner or middle of the block, this church, we've seen y'all, and we and the neighborhood ain't got no better.
And not even church.
Yeah.
Not even just church.
Right.
But I'm talking about even business owners in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the alderman that has to drive through all this violence to get to his office. I'm talking about a guy that we elect in our ward that's supposed to go down there and be a voice for us in city municipality. to challenge some of this crap that our mayor and our state legislator is trying to pull on Chicago, and you letting this happen, man, we don't believe you. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you to get out of my face. Yeah, I'm not coming to your church.
Right, no, you can't come.
It's because
to
there is no system in place to replace my $200,000 a month hustle. So then the question should be, what do we do?
Yes, yes. What do we do? What? So it comes back to, you know, we quote this scripture in the Bible all the time. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they'll never, you know, they'll never depart. If we teach our kids the entrepreneurial spirit, it seems like it's trying to make a comeback, because you see, I think with the dawn of the internet and social media, it has created these false narratives for entrepreneurs because they don't believe that the work is real. They think that it's just, you know, you just get on Facebook and you can make $1 million. You just come up with something that people want to see and put it on Facebook and Twitter, and folk will just come after it.
People don't even believe that, and they package it like it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
And
it's not. It can happen every day.
And they don't see the work, right. But they don't know the work that goes in behind it either.
They don't see the work that goes in, because nobody's showing them. They're not teaching them to master this. It's nobody taking – when people get rich, they don't come back to community.
Yeah.
And that's something that our government is – we're supposed to be challenging our government to have programs like that. If we're the most – you can't make me appreciate our nation's army going over there to protect. He's talking about sending more troops over to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
What the hell do you mean? You sending more troops to Afghanistan, and Chicago is Afghanistan. The money you spending on that, can you please send that –
right.
So that we can get some more band programs,
right.
Some basketball community time, after school, something
right.
in place
right.
for the school that really has to be put in the community
right.
to be used for the citizens and the residents of that community.
Right.
And that should not be funded through people who can't be trusted.
Right. Wow.
What you talking about a religious morality?
Ooh.
Where's Paula White there with that? Praying for the president, directing billions and billions of dollars to foreign countries that don't give a crap about America?
Not at all.
And you mean to tell me that there are people dying on our streets, hungry?
Yes.
Still
yes.
sleeping
yeah.
in Laura Wacker.
Laura Wacker? Damon.
They're everywhere.
Laura Wacker, that used to be the...
Poverty should not be a question in this country, because we have a generation that are creatives and inventors, and we should be investing into that. We should be investing into technology that calls people with all of these ideas and business. I was talking to my young people at my church. I got a bunch of young adults, and for some reason, young adults, creatives are attracted to me.
That's awesome.
I was talking to them. Do you know that they want funeral homes? They want to be producers. A lot of them don't even want to be sports players. They want to be business owners.
Yes.
I should be able to call my alderman and say, you know what? Because I scheduled a meeting with my alderman. I wasn't feeling too good, so I didn't meet with him. I canceled the meeting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to meet with him, and I was going to tell him, look, this is what's going on in Nashville.
Who is your alderman?
My alderman is Irvin.
Oh, Jason.
Jason Irvin. I was in Michael Scott.
Okay,
in
but now I'm
Jason
right,
Irvin.
Not, yeah.
But well, I live in Michael Scott.
I know.
Ward,
I understand.
But I'm in Jason Irvin, the church.
Understand.
Amen. So, but I should be able to pick up the phone and say, I've got all these creatives who have all these. How much can the city give us to put a program into place?
And what you'll get from Jason Irvin is, what program do you have in place? I'll walk you down this path. We met with Jason Irvin about 7 years ago, and I understood what he said. Because the city has been, and here is where the problem comes with churches. Because some churches have been living foul. Y'all got money for grants and stuff.
You blew it, and you messed it up
for everybody. Right. Because you blew it with your after school program, where it was just you and your kids, and your wife was on the staff, and y'all getting checks, but nobody was acting. There was no real program. I ain't gonna call no name, but you're right around the corner from here. Two, couple, three, four, y'all. I can walk to your church. I ain't going to call your name.
Don't y'all drop the ball and then find out. That's all I want.
I call y'all name out, but, you know, let me stop.
Don't call no name.
Man, look here. I don't like, because you messed it up for the rest. So anyway, in our meeting with him, we were like, we wanted to start a program. And he was like, well, what program do you have in place? He said, because they want to see what you got already. Mm-hmm. They want to see what skin you have in
Absolutely.
The game. So don't come asking me for $10,000. Doc, all we need is $10,000 to get it started. We got a computer lab, and it's just your laptop. No, Doc, that's not a computer lab.
Yep.
That's not. You don't even have the space. Your computer lab is you got one table in the corner and your laptop sitting on it. That's not a computer lab.
That's true.
So that is going to be part of the process. We have to come to the table with a real plan in
that's
place.
Right.
So many of us for years have said, I want to do this and do that, or we've started too fast. And we didn't have a real plan in place. We just did it based off what we saw another church do, but we never took the time to call another church and say,
we
hey.
We can show you money.
Come on.
That we have invested in different things.
That's good.
We've got the proof
mm-hmm.
on us investing in community.
Mm-hmm.
So us walking into, we ain't got to go find the reports.
Yeah.
Already got them compiled.
That's good.
So my point is that for ready ministries
mm-hmm.
who can, like my daughter Tracy Lee just said,
mm-hmm.
disciple naturally and spiritually,
mm-hmm.
we are ready. So now we just got to call these people to the bluff. Will they do it?
Yeah. And then you can hold them accountable. We always talk about holding people accountable, but we never actually call them in. Like you can meet with Irvin.
Yes.
And then you can have a dialogue with him. And then you can say, now you know what we need.
Yep.
And then now when time comes for the voting process, let's see where we are in this list
That's
of needs.
Check you off.
Now you had a meeting. Now don't say you met with the mayor. Show me some minutes
yep.
from the meeting.
Yep.
Because it should be public record.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what you brought to the floor when you were in the council when you had your meeting. Let me see what you brought to the floor. Because did you bring, you know, bill number 335 something something to the floor? Did you present that? Because if you didn't, then all you did was give me lip service because I'm your constituent
mm-hmm.
to make sure I could still come to your church because I need to come to World Dominion and ask for some votes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then, you know, but here's the deal. Aldermen don't come in, you know, the aldermen don't visit every church. They should feel like they have to.
He's been to our church before. He came to our church without walls when we had
yeah.
over there on here.
See, he used to be the alderman here. Now we got Emma because they redistrict us.
Oh, okay.
Now we got Emma. See, Emma is over here. He still has Emmett because it's across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So some kind of way we sit in between Emmett. We sit between Emma Mitz, Jason Irvin, and Telefair.
Mm-hmm.
All where this church sits in, I guess because of the corner, we're on all three wards because we have because technically we have a Fulton address and a central address.
Mm-hmm.
We could have both. So, but anyway, I just find it's just disturbing our lack of it goes back to what you said, the lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. and because we're so far behind, and some of that's our own fault.
Yeah, it is.
Because the knowledge is there, the information is there,
mm-hmm.
and what's so amazing is, and we'll close on this because I've got to get out of here. A drug dealer ain't got no problem teaching a young boy how to make money illegally.
Mm-hmm.
They'll walk them through the process. They'll teach them how to cut cocaine and make it into
rocks. And their rims and their gold and their mink and their pelly
yeah,
pellies and
they,
all of that
they,
stuff.
They will
that's
teach
proof
them
that it works.
Yes, they will teach, and so they see the fruits of their labor. Bad labor, whatever it is,
it's fruit.
They still see fruit.
And people want to be a part of something that's successful.
Exactly. I want to be a part of something that I can see some result. Even if now here is the deal: if you take that same kid and you said, this is what happens when you work. Because, see, unfortunately, and it's hard to win back a kid, telling the kid you need a job with a 401k so you can see some, so when you retire, you can have X amount, and you can have, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank. When he said, man, look, I can work for 2 months and get a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to try to win that back in. So now all we can do is try to teach the next generation.
Next generation.
Because, see, this generation is out there now that's slinging. I don't want to call them lost. I don't want to use that term.
We need to focus on the next group.
But we really do need to put our focus on the next group.
Mm-hmm.
These next new babies y'all got running around your church. Don't teach them how to just do church. Teach them ministry.
Yeah.
There is a difference. Stop teaching them. We don't need another damn junior deacon. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Well, I don't need another junior trustee. I don't need another junior usher. I don't need none of that. I teach these folk ministry. teach them what disciple them for real. I wasn't discipled as a kid. I was taught how to do church. I ran every time. You're gonna be a good deacon. No, I'm not. I'm not sitting up there with y'all. I don't even know what y'all doing. You're gonna be a good deacon. No, I ain't. Don't want no parts of it. Anyway, look, y'all. This has been amazing. Once again, I hope y'all got something out of this. Thank you again for coming. You'll be here Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. You'll be here Wednesday, and we'll talk offline, y'all, because we. And I want to say real quick. I know I'm way past my time. A big thank you to Daria Zipporah Springfield for her time here. She's not going to be by this. Her job has changed. It's become a mandatory day for her now. So she's no longer probably going to be. If she's available, we'll definitely have her back. So thank you, Daria. You were fun. It was amazing. I was glad to have you here. It was a great time, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that, you know, your schedule might change, and I'm praying that God continues to bless you. I saw some video of her preaching, and my God, she was doing the thing over at her daddy's church. And so it was amazing, amazing, amazing. So we definitely thank you, and we're appreciative for the time you put in, short as it was, here at TTLO. So thank you so much for that. Pastor Prophet, you want to pray us out?
Yes, Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. We give you praise. We thank you for being in the midst of us in this discussion.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that someone's mind was influenced for the better in Jesus' name. God bless this show. Bless this platform. Increase it. Expand it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, this has been wonderful. Again, we hope you all got something out of it. We will be back next week. Look, y'all, this weather is nice. Y'all stay safe in this city. Keep your head on the swivel and watch out for fools and crazies. What you got?
Hey, y'all, email Dana King Show and tell him to bring the Gospel Living Show to TTLO.
The Gospel Living Show.
The Gospel Living Show.
We actually going, we going to work on that. We're going to have to sit down when we ain't got time constraints. You, me, and my producer and one other cat, we're going to sit down about doing that because that might be something we're actually able to do.
Oh, yeah.
The only issue is getting you in here when I ain't here.
Because
we need somebody in here to do that and get you an engineer and all that stuff. And that's the only thing that's kind of preventing it. But we're going to work it out. I like that, the Gospel Living Show. Like Coffee with the Prophet, too, though.
We could do that.
I really like Coffee with the Prophet.
You like Coffee with the Prophet?
I do.
Would it expedite the matter if we do Coffee
with
the Prophet?
No, no. Let me put it to you this way. If it was just up to me, it would be done.
Okay.
But, you know, I have to be obedient.
Amen. Glory to God. We don't pray it.
Oh, God. Look, y'all, we got to go, man. I love y'all. Y'all stay blessed. Y'all stay in the word, man. And look, if you got questions, you can still email the show. I know a lot of people will be watching this later because I love getting the messages at 1 a.m. from folks who are watching the show and be saying amen in the comments like we live. But if you still can send your messages and your emails, and if you put a comment in there, I'll still see it. He will still see it, and we'll discuss it. We don't ignore y'all. So we appreciate y'all, but we got to go, man. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. I'm going to close out with this. Be grateful. Bye, y'all.